Shalom Aleichem, Mishneh Yomi, for Yud Daled Nisan, Shabbat Parshat Tzav, Erev Pesach, and the last morning to get your bagel in before the time. Check the calendar for the times to last consume your chametz. Anyway, Mishneh Yomi is in Chapter 7 of Eduyot, Mishnayot 4 and 5. Heid Rabbi Tzadok, continuing halachot from Rabbi Tzadok, al zochlin, about the spring water. Now remember, yesterday we said there's a mikvah of rainwater gathered into one place, at least 40 seah. There's also spring water that's bubbling and trickling out of the ground, and spring water, mayim chayim, is required for certain things like zav, zava, mitzora, and mei chatat, the paraduma water. So what about you had spring water, shekilchan bole, the ole egos, and it was diverted by the outer soft shell of a walnut. So a walnut has that hard brown shell, but on the outside of that, there's actually a soft green shell. Rashi here says that ole here, his ale is like leaves. So you could say either the leaves of a walnut tree or this soft outer shell. And you've used this sort of as a gutter. The Bartner says a marzev. It's like a gutter pipe. You've used it sort of to redirect the flow of these mayim chayim, of these spring waters. And Rabbi Tzadok said, Shehen kisherin, they're still considered spring waters. The Bartner explains, because this soft shell or leaf is not a kli. If mayim chayim, if spring water runs through a kli, it is no longer mayim chayim. Much like even a normal rainwater mikvah, if that water runs through a kli, a receptacle vessel on the way into the basin, it's not going to be valid to use as a rainwater mikvah either. So here, these items, these leaves or shells, they're not a kli, so the water running through them, even though it kind of moves the water around a little bit, is not going to mess up the status of mayim chayim, of zocholin, of spring water. And maise haya be'aholya, in a place called Aholya, would this actually happen? And they took the case all the way up to Lishkat Gozit, the High Sanhedrin, and the High Sanhedrin said these were fine, they were still considered mayim chayim. On to Mishnah Hay. This is amazing because Erev Pesach is the last opportunity to get tahor and cleaned up and mikvahed to bring the carbon Pesach. And this Mishnah is about the ashes of the para aduma that were used, of course, to make mechatat and to purify people from corpse tuma so they could go and take part of the karbanot and the carbon Pesach in Yerushalayim. So Baruch Hashem, Erev Pesach, and we are learning about how to be pure on Erev Pesach. God willing, we should do so soon and come to the temple and bring our carbon Pesach. Anyway, Mishnah Hey, Heid Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yochim Ish Hadar. So Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yochim from Hadar, they testified al kolol. A kolol is like a kulta, like a jug, an earthenware vessel, shel chatat, that they've put the ashes in this jug, the ashes of the para aduma, shenatanu al gabei sheretz. But when they were putting this jug away, they put it on top of a sheretz, you know, one of these creepy, crawly, bug, lizard, toad things. Shehu tame, that it becomes tame. Now the Bartner explains the ashes become tame, even though the kli, the kolol, the kulta, the kli cheres, the earthenware jug, does not become tame. An earthenware kli only becomes tame from something going inside the airspace. So a sheretz dangling into the airspace, even without touching, would be metame, would contaminate the earthenware jug. So in this case, the jug is sitting on top of a sheretz. So the jug itself is totally pure. So then why is the ashes of the paraduma inside the jug impure? Well, the Bartner here cites the pasuk in Bamidbar chapter 19. It says, Hiniach michutz lemachne b'makom tahor. You take those ashes, you have to put them outside of the camp in a tahor place, in a pure place. So obviously you put them on top of a dead sheretz. That's not a pure place. And back in the Mishnah, Shrabi Eliezer mentahar. Rabbi Eliezer actually said they would ashes would still be tahor. He said it wasn't a problem because really their place of the ashes, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is inside the jug. And the jug is resistant to impurity from the outside, as we explained. So putting the jug on top of the sheretz doesn't mess up the jug, and the jug is the place of the ashes, so it wouldn't mess up the ashes either, according to Rabbi Eliezer. But the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yakim. Next, Heid Rabbi Papayas. Al mi shenazar shtei nazirot, he testified at someone who said, I'm going to vow two terms of nazirot. We talked about this case back in Nazir, I think in chapter 3. So he explains, she'im giloch et rishona yom shloshim, if he took his shave and haircut to end his first nazirot on day 30, she'migaleach hashnia yom shishim, he should do the shave and the haircut to conclude the second nazirot on day 60 from his starting point. But ve'im gilach yom shishim chaser echad, if he actually took a shaven haircut for the second term on day 59, yatza. It's not ideal, but it's good enough. Why? Sheyom shloshim ole lo min haminyan. Day 30 counts towards his second term of Nazirot. So the first term ended on day 30. He took his shaven haircut on day 30 for that first term, and then he started again the second term on day 30. So yes, technically, he could end the second term on day 59. Tizku le mitzvot, tizku le arba kosot, tizku le chag kasher v'sameach. Sei gesund.